Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WBFF 97.7. Good to be with you here today. Any day reading God's Word is good. Good day. You got to read this book over and over. You got to look at it methodically. Read it out loud. Read it slow. Look at every word, every sentence, and God will give you things. There are a lot of things in here you haven't heard in church because they just haven't read the book, or they have just decided to repeat what religion has told them to repeat. Not the first time this world has been here. There were two accounts of the creation of man. There were two children in the womb of Eve. Catch the first episode on WBFFradio.com, and I'll show you in black and white why you haven't heard the whole story. And if you hear the whole story, it ties science and the Bible together completely. There's no way you can contradict one or the other. Those fossils are millions of years old, and yes, mankind has been here roughly 9,000 years this time around, because this is not the first time around. We are in the book of 1 Samuel. Israel has gone into the promised land. They have proven to God they cannot be loyal. They broke his first covenant, which was not the Ten Commandments. It was simply, follow me with all your heart, circumcise your children. He laid the law on them when they showed him that they could not follow his simple ask of follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. The law is bondage. It is just physical things you must do to try to cover your sins. And it ends in bondage and separation from God and ultimately death. And Jesus Christ will come back one day toward the end of this Bible and replace the law with the simplicity of the first covenant again, which is simply follow me and be baptized. So we are in chapter 18. Israel has their first king, which God did not want them to have. He wanted to be their king. They demanded to be like all the people around them because they had adopted all of the gods and the ways of the people of the land, which God told them to get out. Don't leave a single one, but they disobeyed again. And they left a lot of the people in the land, and they soon infiltrated in amongst them. They started procreating with them. So the two lines in this world, the seed of the serpent and the seed of Adam, are active, and now they are intermingling with the Hebrews. So David has just come on the scene. In the last episode, he has come on the scene and he has killed Goliath. He was anointed king by Samuel. Saul doesn't know this yet, but Saul is getting ready to realize that he's been replaced, because Samuel's already told him twice, the kingdom has been taken from you. God is going to give it to a man who deserves it more than you do. Chapter 18, it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the son of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. Jonathan loved him as his own soul. This is right after David killed Goliath. Saul says, bring him to me. Who is this young lad? There's a little controversy in chapter 16 as to how Saul met David, and there's two accounts of it. But when he brings the head of Goliath before Saul, and he talks to Saul for some time, Jonathan, his son, Saul's son, has an immediate attachment to David. They're like soulmates, and they go on to have a wonderful friendship. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more home to his father's house. And Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul. with tabrets and joy, and with instruments of music. Mm-hmm. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain thousands, and David his 10,000s.
A little stingy.
Yes, because we've seen earlier that Saul wants to be the big man.
He's got the ego.
Yeah, when Jonathan went out and stirred up the Philistines and had a great slaughter, Saul was irritated because it didn't involve him, and it almost cost Jonathan his life because Saul has a very big ego and a very big mouth. Saul was very wroth, and this saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? They're looking to him as king already. Mm-hmm. And Saul eyed David from that day and forward, and came to pass. Now see, this, when you just read this, it gives you an idea of a week or so went by. No. A long length of time went by there. David went out to many, many battles. Everywhere Saul sent him, and on one of his returning from his victorious battles, these women were seeing this. So months and months have gone by. At the evil spirit from God, we'll start with 10 again. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand, and at other times, and was a javelin in Saul's hand. So, we see that a lot in this book, an evil spirit from God. How can that be, Pastor Dave? God doesn't have evil spirits. He has angels. Well, God is in charge of everything. Good, evil, in the middle, doesn't matter. He is in charge of everything. Satan, his adversary, but Satan works at his command when he wants him to.
I mean, this is a straight God sent a spirit to possess this man.
Yes.
And like, how eerie is that? Like, how it explains the javelin being there right on, you know. And,
be careful, Christian. You get too far from God, God will chastise you in ways that you see. Saul is being chastised. Saul belongs to God. Mm-hmm. For all of you that believe you can lose your salvation, David's going to say some things in the upcoming verses that prove that once you're anointed of God, you belong to God, no matter how far from God you are. And when Saul is totally, totally beside himself and knows that his kingdom is gone, he goes to the witch, and there is the strongest verse for eternal salvation in with God that there is. And you'll see that coming up when Samuel is conjured up by the witch of Endor. And what he says to Saul will prove it to you, but I'm not gonna give you a spoiler at this moment. You just gotta hang on. We may get to it in this cast, or it may be in the next one. So verse 11, chapter 18, and Saul cast the javelin for him, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. So he throws the javelin at David. And David avoided out of his presence twice. So David escaped. He was not hurt. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. And the reason God departed from Saul is because he was continually disobedient, Christian. There is one sin in this Bible. It's disobedience. You can call it 100 different things. Murder, theft, adultery, what do you want to call it? But it is disobedience to God.
It makes me wonder if when we sent this evil spirit to Saul, if that wasn't a personal, like one of the final personal tests.
Only God will know.
Yeah, to see if Saul could overtake, you know, or fight that inclination when we sent that spirit to him.
Only God would know, and if he had overcome that evil spirit, this chapter might finish out reading differently.
Right.
There is never a time when it is too late to obey God. Good point, Jonathan. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Keep control of yourself, Christian. What does that say there? David behaved himself wisely in all of his ways. He was a moral man. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he had behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him, because Saul was not a moral man. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. David was their champion. He was out there fighting the Philistines. He was in the forefront of the battle. And Saul said to David, "Behold, my elder daughter, Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles." For Saul said, "Let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him." So Saul's got a plan. I'm going to put him over a little bit larger army, and I'm going to send him out, and maybe the Philistines will kill him, and I won't have to do it. David said unto Saul, "Who am I, and what is my life, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king?" David is a humble man. God loves humility. But it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, she was given unto Adriel, the Mithlamite, to wife. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, "I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him." So, this Michal, we don't know a whole lot about her, but she was apparently not your most obedient child. Saul says, "Yeah, well, he gave away the daughter they did promise David." Mm-hmm. He says, "Oh, yeah, I'll give him Michal. She'll bring him down."
Yeah.
How many women bring men down?
That's why I kind of snickered, because it's just, you would figure that whenever Saul had seen what David was doing, that he would have backed off. But anyway, he's under the influence of that spirit still, you know, and this whole, he's still plotting ways to get him, so to speak.
Yep. And Saul said, "I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him." So Saul is still conspiring evil against his fellow servant of God. Wherefore Saul said to David, "Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain." Saul commanded his servant, saying, "Commune with David secretly and say, Behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law." And Saul's servant spake those words in the ears of David. And David said, "Seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed?" And the servants of Saul told him, saying, "On this matter spake David." David says, "How can I be a king's son-in-law? I'm just a poor shepherd boy." And Saul said, "Thus shall ye say to David, The king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines, to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines." When his servant told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law. And the days were not expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law, and Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to be wife. You know, I have often thought about this. You know, I was in the army. I remember there's a lot of images of collecting dog tags on a ring. I mean, they're out there collecting foreskins, probably putting them on a piece of string, and coming in and handing them to the king. That was a different time, folks. It was
definitely.
It was a hard time, you know. Men were harder than they are now. And Saul said, and Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, his daughter, loved him. Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually, even when the evil spirit wasn't there. He was bound and determined to have David killed. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. There was nothing that David done to this point in the sight of the people that he could be accused of anything. He was like the golden boy. Chapter 19, 1 Samuel. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. Now, he knows that David and Jonathan are best friends. Mm-hmm. But I guess he thinks the fact that's my son, I will have a little more sway with him than his best friend does. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And David probably answered Jonathan, saying, really, Jonathan? He threw a javelin at me twice. I kind of had that impression, but it's good that you have kind of absolutely let me know that. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee. What I see, that I will tell thee. Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee word very good. He has been an awesome servant to you, father. You cannot do anything bad to him. For he did put his life in his hands, slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and did rejoice. Wherefore, then wilt thou sin against innocent blood, and slay David without a cause. And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan. And Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. Saul is a double-minded man. And the Bible talks about double-minded people. It says they are very, very unbalanced and very dangerous. So at this point here, Saul says, oh, you're right, Jonathan. I will not harm him. And he actually meant it there at that time. But it's like I said, he is like two personalities, double-minded.
Still entertaining that spirit.
Yeah, and Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all these things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. There was a war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines. All right, now, consider this isn't the next day. Months have gone by. David has been in Saul's presence every day, and everything is fine. If you read this just straight through, you get a progression. This happens the next day, and then this happens the next day. No. And Jonathan told David this, and then David was in Saul's presence for months, and everything was fine. There was a war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. Verse 9, and the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul again, because God has taken the kingdom from Saul. It physically hasn't happened yet. God needs it to happen. God commands everything, good, bad, or indifferent. As he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, that should have been a key thing in David's mind. He's walking in, Saul sitting on the throne with the javelin today. Oh, this might be a day that I don't need to be there.
Yeah.
And David played with his hand. David would come in and play on the harp for Saul. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. So David's quick on his feet. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and slay him in the morning. Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So his son and his daughter are helping out David, because David is a fine individual, and they know their father is not. So Michal let down David through the window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image, laid it in the bed, and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster, and covered it with a cloth. So she's putting a mannequin in David's bed, making it look like he's there all covered up. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he is sick. Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed, that I may slay him. Bring the whole bed with him in it. When the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed, with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. Saul said unto Michal, Why hast thou deceived me so? Send away mine enemy, that he is escaped. And Michal answered Saul, He said unto me, Let me go, why should I kill thee? So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah, told him all that Saul had done to him, and he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. And it was told Samuel, saying, Behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah. Saul sent messengers to take David, and when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And what was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. So he's sending these men to do David evil, and the Spirit of God is coming upon them, and they're starting to prophesy about most likely how David will be the next king. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then he also, then went he also to Ramah, and came to a great well that is in Sichu. And he asked and said, Where are Samuel and David? And one said, Behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. So, you get too close to the anointed of God, you might get a little bit of yourself. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner. And lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, is Saul also among the prophets. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, he's in control. He wanted to humble Saul because Saul was a very prideful man. Saul went there with evil intentions, and God humbled him greatly, had him speak the words of God, probably prophesying about David being the king, and stripped him down naked, and he lay there naked all day because of his pride. Chapter 20, book of 1 Samuel. And David fled to Naoth, and Ramah came and said to Jonathan, What have I done? What is mine iniquity? What is mine sin before thy father? And he seeketh my life. And he said unto him, Forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will shew it me. Jonathan said, Don't worry, dad's not going to do anything unless he tells me first, okay? And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. And David sware moreover, and said, Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes, and he saith, Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. David says, I'm on the threshold of death. Your father's going to do it. He's probably not going to tell you, because he knows that you love me and we're brothers. Then said Jonathan unto David, Whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. David said unto Jonathan, Behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at evening. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me, that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. So David asks Jonathan to lie. And we've seen this reoccurring over and over, even God telling angels to go and lie to prophets. It is not deception in warfare. It is not lies. It is deception.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.